This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Psalm 139, 13 and 16, "For you formed my inward parts." You see, if I say that it doesn't matter if baby fetuses are manufactured into medicine, if I say I will receive that, I'm saying it's okay for me to pay for those babies to lose their life. Because look at how many billion dollars Big Pharma has been making in this last year from the vaccines. And you say, "I didn't pay for it." You took it. Somebody paid for it. It is a personal support of the industry that markets the babies. Over 65 million now have been killed. Now listen, if you didn't understand what you did, then there's no condemnation. But I want you to understand why I am not going to receive the vaccine. And as a pastor, I want to make this public because I believe God's called us to lead our congregations and to not hide behind popular opinion. Number three, I believe God's word clearly states that God is both the creator and the sustainer of life. That every decision regarding life and health is to be guided by faith, by prayer, and godly counsel. I have a religious mandate to trust God with my life and health, to take this vaccine. I'm telling you why I disagree with it in all of these points, right? To take this vaccine, it would violate my conscious trust in God alone. James 5 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church." It does not say, "Let him call Big Pharma." I'm not opposed to medical science. I'm opposed to this mandate and this particular vaccine. "And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven." And if you've been raised up from anything, let me tell you, your good doctor did not give you that healing. God did. God only knows what's gone into our bodies since we were born. But we're alive and we have the health we have because God has protected us. All right, question number three. Please indicate whether your sincerely held religious belief, practice, or observant is in conflict with all vaccines. This is the trick. It's the trick. And if not, the basis for objection to the COVID-19 vaccine. I'm glad you asked. I do not turn my back on all modern medicine and its practices and philosophies. But listen, and this is not my personal, this is one that I grew from receiving from others. I see a clear difference between helping a body that's in crisis and addressing a healthy body with medical help or intervention. In other words, if someone is dying, you can minister to them in a crisis, but it's different than coming to a healthy person. A lot of people already have antibodies. Guarantee you I do. I'm full of them because the devil tried to kill me. And a lot of you are full of antibodies as well. If someone needs medical attention, I still have the scars. Here they are all over my arms. From laying in the road, I would have bled to death. God protected me. Somebody stopped the bleeding. I don't have a problem with that. A doctor stuck my bones back together and God gave him wisdom to do it. I don't have anything wrong with that. It's not the same, and this is where the trick is now being played on Christians. If you say that you're opposed to this vaccine, are you saying that you're opposed to all medical attention? The answer is, no, I am not. I just had a heart cath the other day. I prayed before I did it. And I prayed a while before I did it. If my body were in crisis, I would consider, listen, all the options and discuss what to do with my trusted physician who is a godly man. I would also consult God's word. What are you going to do if you're told you have a disease? I think this is what all of you would do. I will consult God's word. I will pray to God for help and guidance. I will consult with my pastor, perhaps, or religious leader, relying totally on the healing power of God to aid me and give me wisdom in my decisions. My faith dictates that I let the peace of God rule in my heart in all decisions of faith and life. My wife and I, we didn't have peace in having the vaccine. That in and of itself would have been enough for us to say no. Even if I didn't know everything else I know. Now, you may have had peace, so that's fine. That's between you and God, and that's fine. My wife and I, we did not. And so I honor and respect you, and I ask you to honor and respect me. This is the way the body of Christ and our nation has functioned. Our nation and the laws gave you freedom to not have to agree with every politician. You could choose. I do not know whatever God's going to send my way in the future. I will seek His help for solutions and guidance. All of my decisions, so help me God, will adhere to my personal belief in God and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Now, whatever you believe about God and salvation in your life, you need to be ready to give an answer. You need to be ready to give an answer. Because you don't know when you're going to be asked where you stand. If you don't know where you stand, then you can be bullied. If you know what God says, then you can say, it is written. This is what the Word says. I'll never forget a man that I knew over a number of years. I sure hope I'm going to see him in heaven. But he told me one day that this lady is being charged with something. She's brought in before the judge. And I don't know if he was in the room or he was just told this story by an attorney. But this lady's standing before the judge, and the judge says to her, "Ma'am, could you explain why you did what you did?" The lady stood there quietly for a few moments. Then she just looked up. She said, "Your Honor, I did what I believe God spoke to me to do." The attorney who's telling the story said the judge sat there. He didn't have an answer for that. Because in this nation, you have the right to say, the Word of God speaks to me and the Spirit of God speaks to me. There's a push to take away that freedom. Acts chapter 4. Can we go there? Because this is the topic today. Boldness. boldness. Bill got it right. Bill already checked in 2 weeks ago. I said, find out what the Word of God, what the Apostle said about how to pray for me. What did the Word of God say? Did the Word of God say to pray that there's more miracles? Did the Word of God, what does the Word of God say? Here we are. We're in Acts. We're going to look at what the Word of God has to say. Acts chapter 4. We're going to drop down to verse 29. And now, Lord, this is Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give your servants, they're asking for something here. Grant your servants, give your followers, give us great boldness in preaching the word. Boldness. Who is this that's praying for this? Well, these are the apostles. They're saying, God, we need your boldness to be able to preach. I can't preach about boldness too much. I'll just say this. Boldness gives you the ability to not compromise. Boldness gives you, it gives you the strength and the courage to stand when everyone else is sitting down. Boldness gives you a Holy Spirit fire that will enable you to not only think and speak the very words of God, but for those words to be released as arrows to accomplish the purposes of God. Because the Word of God says that not one of His words return void. And so holy boldness, it equips us to be messengers of the Most High God. The prayer, hear their threats. Here's the threats. Here's the threats. Threat right now is you're going to lose your job. Maybe you've been in this occupation your whole life. The threat is there. Listen, if anyone is listening, if anybody is watching, if anyone will hear this on radio and wants help, if I can help, I will endeavor to help. I believe we in the body of Christ need to help each other. We need to stand up against the darkness. We need to equip one another to know how to be bold. Because the Word tells us something about boldness. It says the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no one pursues them. What is the difference? The difference is the presence and power of an indwelling God is within us. May we in this room and may the church be filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost, so the church is alive with God's presence and power. They're praying, give your servants boldness. In verse 30, send your healing power. It is not enough to just have boldness. But why is boldness first? Because if you have boldness, and earlier in this chapter, this is where they talk about in chapter 4, verse 13, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see they were ordinary men who had no special training. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Boldness equips us to stand up for God in such a way that we could never do it on our own. Can't do it from up here. It's got to be done by the Spirit. Send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. Give us boldness. Send healing power. miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Boldness. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Most of our men's meetings close with putting on the full armor of God. And it's here, it's in this passage. But pray at all times on every occasion. Verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert. This is the soldier. I heard it this morning in the prayers. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. That's the obligation we have. And pray for me too. Paul saying, pray for me. Ask God to guide me so that I have the right words to boldly explain God's gospel that of the good news. And I'm sort of paraphrasing here. I'm in the New Living Translation. He's saying, pray for me. Now, anybody who had seen Paul, they knew he was bold. They'd heard him. He was bold. He was a man's man. Jesus was too. I think we need to throw away all those mansy-pansy pictures of Jesus the Messiah that make him look like some kind of a spineless jellyfish. Let me tell you, Jesus was no wimp. Peter was no wimp. John was no wimp. These were men. These were men. They were fishermen. They were tradesmen. They were businessmen. They were soldiers. They had the high priestly line in some of their families. They knew how to use a sword. They were men. Boldness. Boldness. Paul says, Paul would face anybody. You read 2 Corinthians what he went through in his faith. Unbelievable. It's the largest list of attacks. But remember, he was the one who killed Christians, right? But here in this passage, Paul is saying, pray for me. Want to hear McLean's version? Pray for me that I don't wimp out on any occasion. Pray for me that on my watch, that I'm not silent. Pray for me as I stand on the wall, that I'm not drowsy, that I'm not blind, that I'm not like the sleeping dog. The Word talks about the shepherds who were sleeping dogs. They only cared about their bellies and their own entertainment. And God said, I'll send a shepherd that'll shepherd my flock. Paul saying, pray for me that regardless of what I face, that I will be bold and I will never back down from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. A few days ago in my devotional time, I put this note in. As you know, I believe it's good to journal. The Word says in Acts 1:8 that you should receive power, right? You remember that? You should receive power. My prayer this morning, on this particular morning, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life was, Jonathan, my power is still being poured out. And as I was pondering and thinking and just listening, I began to write and I wrote down, Father, I want to be like Jesus, full of the power and Spirit of God, not only in life, but also in death. Remember reading that part about they were not concerned about their lives unto death. They had already counted the cost. Church, I have to say it again. Be prepared to stand in these days. Be prepared to stand. Be prepared to live for Christ. But have you also determined that you're willing to die for Christ? Because let me ask you this question. If you're not ready to die for Christ, if you're not willing, if you've not settled that, then you might just find it's too easy to compromise when it comes down to a real test. That's how the mark of the beast is going to work. They're going to say, either you take our mark or else you're not going to be able to have a job. Just like that. You take the mark of the beast or you're not going to be able to buy and sell. Oh, I've heard that there are restaurants already and some grocery stores and some places in the marketplace that have signs up, you're not welcome here unless you've been vaccinated. Let me tell you, this is to break down. Break us down. Prepare us for the end time. Oh yeah, here's my hand, here's my wrist. You know, I have to live. God knows I have to live. Let me tell you, if you're going to stand, right now's the day to start standing. If you don't have the strength to stand in the marketplace, then start standing in front of a mirror in your house and say, God, you have given me life. God, you've made me special. God, you're letting me live in this day. God, I ask you to give me spiritual integrity and character so I stand in this day for you. God, you've given me faith to receive life through Jesus Christ. Give me strength, God, to count the cost and say, I've already decided I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not backing down. I'm not shutting down. I am not going to give away the calling that's on my life. I will stand, so help me God, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Could it be that part of the greater things, the greater dimension, that God has blessed us with through the Holy Spirit, in part maybe this. Do you remember Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness? Why did he do that? Because he didn't know what he would do. The devil didn't know what Jesus would do. So he tempted him. You see, Satan already knew that as God, he had never won any battle against God. But what Satan didn't know was, now that he's God-man, is he weaker as God-man? Will he give in to the temptation or will he stand? The same power that gave Jesus strength to stand in the wilderness against the enemy is the same power that's now in us. Think about it. It was tremendous. And it was shocking to the devil. And it was beyond the enemy's comprehension when the enemy realized that Jesus was able to live a sinless life in a human body. All hell was shaken. The devil could not comprehend that after years of destroying flesh, that now God's Son was victorious 100% living in a human body. But the same power that brought Jesus out of the grave is now residing in your fallen flesh. Is it possible that part of the greater work is that Satan believed that he could destroy every man and every woman because we don't have that God element? Is it possible that the enemy expected all of us to crumble and fall? But God, by His Spirit, has actually come into us so that we are not left without the God part in our lives. We now have God in our lives. We are human, but we also have God in our life. And now the enemy must look at us and see the victory that Jesus gives us because God dwells in us and delivers us from the enemy's plans. Praise be to God that we are not conquerors, but we are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ, through Him who loved us and gave His life for us. Amen. Praise You, Father. Some may question whether it's appropriate in the house of God to deal with a natural issue. Someone prayed against the division. This is just another one of those division things that's going on in our land right now. And so we in the church need to come to peace with God. And we need to come to peace with each other. We need to pray one for another. We need to bless one another. So, Father, as we come to the Lord's table, we don't come in our perfection. We don't come because we're so perfect. As we think about our lives, we recognize and we understand that the worshiper never was the one perfect. The worshiper was always the one who needed a perfect sacrifice. So communion is not the time for us to look at our righteousness and say, I'm perfect, but it's to look at Jesus and His righteousness and say, thank You, Father, that Jesus became sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Father, that You've redeemed us from the curse of the law of sin and death.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with Your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStuart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Nothing is impossible.